Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Sir Johnson. How are you today?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Got a little
frog in your throat?
No. My hip and pelvis.
Oh, dear.
What were you doing? Know, they say the weather wants to be broken at any time or fractured.
You'll get problems?
Yeah.
It's called old age, you tell me.
I hear all of you, so I ain't worried about
that. Tell me.
I wanted to start off by saying, Johnson, you can't please everybody. And don't try that. You're going to run in trouble.
I killed myself.
You've been in Barbados long enough. Now you should know a bit. I know you know them, but sometimes, as we would say, you like buttering up for somebody. Let me tell you. A caller earlier on, you were trying to explain to them the protocols surrounding the COVID.
COVID. Mm-hmm.
When you arrive here from another country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to, and this is what the maliciously want to know, you know, they would like you to tell them, or Lieutenant Colonel Bostick and his people, to tell the whole of Barbados, the hotels that you get put up in if you want to go to, the houses that you go to, whatever. You know why? They would maliciously go outside and peep and to find out who they are. That is how they are. But there are protocols, and I don't know how some of them are executed.
Mm-hmm.
So a fellow might come in on the 15th, and it might take 8 days before they might finally say, okay, you're good to go, or you have to remain or go there. And I think that they are expecting you to be able to let them know in detail the process. But what would be good for you might not be good for me. What I'm saying is, I might go away 8 days, you might only go away five, or I would go away 15. But it is just the malicious part of Barbadians.
That's what you're putting it down to? Listen, let me tell you, if you see some of the queries that come in, if I read some of the queries that come in to you, that come in here via WhatsApp, okay? I try to see if I could read through the lines sometimes to see whether it's genuine or, you know, as you say, whether it's malicious. There are people who ask, for example, where has this person been between September 25th and October 5th? The minister should explain. I can't answer that question. There's no way I would know. If somebody says, my 87-year-old mother came in a week ago, and she's quarantined. I don't know where she's quarantined. I don't know what's happening to her. Nobody at the airport could tell me. Now, the question I ask myself is, if I have an 87-year-old mother traveling, should I not have some way of being in contact with her? You know, she should be able to tell me, I'm in quarantine at place X. I chose to go to this hotel, or the government has put me up here or there. I can't tell them, and I'm sure if I call, the airport won't tell me either. I'm not even sure the airport is the person to call, because you don't tell me who the airport means. So I'm saying that if there are persons who have those anxieties, they should be able to, I don't know, call the COVID hotline, call somewhere to get that information, rather than expecting a radio station to get them the information.
Mr. Johnson, would you believe, honestly, in your heart, that a mother would be returning from New York, London, wherever, to Barbados, and a daughter or son living here that she communicates with regularly, would not know where she is, how she's coming, or when she's coming? It is that relationship that will decide if they know where and what and how.
Well, so, I would think again, so, because if it's a relative of mine, That's what I would do. I would check, especially if they're old.
But you see, all I wanted to say is, on this particular topic, I'll go a little quick one to discuss it, is that you will never, ever be able to satisfy Barbadians' requests and questions, whatever, because they are mainly in a malicious way that they want to know. You don't know if they can get down in St. Lucie. They'll go down there and take pictures and find out who down there, and then that on the street. You know, Johnson father come in, and he down in St. Lucie, you know. And then that company, the wax up and this thing and all over Barbados. And you know, they got my father instead of Johnson father, and up on the thing saying who down there. So I'm really glad when they don't know, and I won't want them to know anymore. And I say that when a person leaves wherever they're leaving and come to Barbados, they must be aware of the protocols, because they're walking, they're coming by your airplane, and the airline people will tell them and point out to them when you're going, what you have to have, and when you get there, if you don't have that, what would be the thing? That is what I wanted to speak to you on a few minutes on. Mr. Johnson, as I go around Barbados, something must be done to control the dialect vehicles that we have on this island. And, you know, even if you say they were in the countryside by an old quarry or something rare thing, but I'm talking about not only the city, I talk about the inner city. There's so many old cars and old fan and old this and that. And like now, the grass is
growing through the window.
The rain. Well, you see only
the top.
Top of the vehicle. All right. I mean, you observing.
I've seen it.
What is going
I've seen
to
grass
happen?
Growing out the window too.
Yes.
And numbers painted on the side of the car and things like that. Yep.
But what? I think this is a major issue that. Well, the virus corona, the virus now here, and here like the state later on in next year. But something has to be done to arrest the situation. And it's getting worse by the roadside. People know who do some repairs. Because and then they take off parts and sell it.
The bonnet comes off and then the door comes off. And yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend of mine who tells me, look, Giddy, I only take in three at a time. And when I, you know, when I finish one, one can come.
Come on.
But they're just there. I mean, they're obstructing the free flow of traffic.
So I have to tell you, there are two things I've noticed in my roaming around. And I made mention of one of them before COVID squeezed us into the corner in which they squeezed us. It was this. Almost every empty lot in Barbados at one point seemed to have become a used car, a previously owned vehicle depot. You drive around Barbados, if you drive through, I'm not talking about, you know, people who have a registered garage or a known dealer in automotive sales, right? You would see cars there. There's a fellow up Cave Hill that got the whole hill covered. But you drive to places like Hart's Gap, you know, a place that I know from my roaming body garrison days, or St. Matthias Road. If I happen to be going by the court,
but
don't ask me why I'm going.
And I would see a corner in Hart's Gap.
Correct.
That when you go around there, you can't see around the corner.
Exactly. Okay,
you go
so right.
Second Avenue or something.
So you know where I'm talking about that, right?
Yes.
You see cars for sale.
I know it's St. Michael.
Right? You see cars for sale. Then there are the rent a car places where now you see for sale signs stick up outside. That because no cars being rented, they're selling it. I'm asking myself, who buying these cars? And you know, that was just the question at the back of my head. But now, in addition, as you said, they're abandoned vehicles, they're old vehicles, they're vehicles in various stages of undress. This one missing a door, that one missing
a
trunk, you know, grass growing out the window. And the country looks like a used car lot. And there must be a way of dealing with them. I'm not even talking about Scrapman and those places that have metal. Look at the case of that's happened over the last couple of weeks with the mangrove landfill, where they're burning 7,000 mattresses.
7,000.
They claim. How you would suddenly get 7,000 mattresses?
I believe they would have accumulated them.
But why accumulate them? Some of the ships.
I believe, honestly, that is a question that was best answered by the medical people. I believe some of them came from these tourist lines.
Sure, I agree.
Which would have had a breakout of the COVID aboard, and
they say they got bed bugs in some, so some of them came from here. But yes, my thing is this, right? Why do we accumulate them, sir? Because if you go up by that same mangrove area, you will see tires with grass growing in there. You don't know that it's got tires under the grass.
Mr. Johnson?
And tires with water, sir?
You can't burn 10 a week. Because every time you burn, it must be controlled. Mm-hmm. You must take the people from the fire service off duty to come in.
So you got to do big numbers.
So you wait till you accumulate a certain amount. Because they would know about it. I ain't got no about that. But before you go, I also want to say this. Mm-hmm. Orman Mohammed Nasser. Mm-hmm. I was raised in the community that he was raised. Right. And let me say, Mohammed Nasser is a good man who has helped many, many, many people. I say no more. He is a good man. Don't let nobody. He's gone through it all. He's had when people didn't have. He gave when people didn't give. And at this point, I don't think he asked anybody, including politicians, for anything. A decent, well-behaved gentleman. Go in peace.
Thank you, sir. sometimes you don't know what people do or why they do it or what's done because of what they do. I had a discussion this morning that lasted 15 minutes that was paid for by the BNOCL. Scholarships being awarded to persons at the SJPI, and I hope the person who made the comment to me don't mind me saying so. They said the reason why we wanted you to do it is because we've listened to the conversations between you and Mohammed Nasser, and it seems that you have an interest in making sure that people have a wide knowledge of, not only things academic, but places like the SJPI and learning skills and doing that. And if based on a conversation I have with a caller, somebody gets a scholarship, I've done what I'm supposed to do for the week or the month or the year, I guess. 434-1-790-266-4862. You can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. There's a WhatsApp messenger who keeps another one of these messages that they keep repeating. So they have a concern, and I'll share the concern with you. It's the road in the area of Archcott Terrace, Britain's Crossroad, behind the school, next to where the apartment building collapsed. Person says no vehicles are allowed to be on the damaged road. And yet every school day between 10 to 7 and 8 in the morning and 1:45 and 2:45 in the afternoon, lots of vehicles, especially heavy-duty vehicles, are seen parking, driving, and blocking. Now, I suppose by heavy vehicles, they mean four-wheel drive ones. And the person says they're calling all the relevant authorities to look into this matter urgently before another collapse takes place. It's only a matter of time. If people choose to engage in risky behavior, sir, this constant calling on authorities to do something about it is something I have a queasy feeling about. Because if authorities start trying to do things like that, you end up having accusations of a police state, and I don't want to live in another one. People need to be responsible. If a roadway or an area is blocked off because it is dangerous, then don't park there. That's common sense. I show the vehicle in for free. And yeah, you may want insurance coverage, but I'm sure insurance is cover, what's it called, misadventure. Yeah. I've seen it because I've passed through their things. It happens at almost every school in Barbados, especially at in these times and children leaving school, the roadway is blocked up with persons waiting to pick up their children. I've seen that one. I don't know, other than the police passing and telling people don't park, I think people should know that they're taking a risk. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you. How do you do?
I'm all right, man.
Hello?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have three items to put on the table this morning. One is that Barb has about 24,000 members, right? So why can't Barb have their own credit union? And two, why can't Barb has a cooperative so that members could buy things in bulk and stuff like that and make it cheaper for the members, seeing that we have an aging population and some people money ain't really stretching. The second thing,
where would they get the money from to do it?
Pardon?
Where would the money come from for them to do it?
To do what?
Start a cooperative, buy things and put it there.
The members would put up the money to help buy things for themselves. So
if they don't have the money to do it, where would they get it from?
But the members would normally, the same way they could go and complain about the expensive things and things in the supermarkets and all about this, they can put together money and buy things in bulk and distribute them, because it do happen in offices where people buy things in bulk.
They are buying clubs. They are buying clubs. But let me ask you this, right? In the Wildey area, close to two banks, the Scotiabank and First Caribbean, close to Courtesy Garage, there was a supermarket up there that some time ago, a credit union said they were going to buy or lease that area and start a, just what you suggested, a buying club for their members. Never came to pass. You see, here's the challenge that Barbados faces, right? If the people who bring things into Barbados, whether it's cereal, any imported item, whether you, if you come through the same distributor, they're not going to give you cheaper if they operate a supermarket. So if Massey stores are the agents for, I just pick something at random, cornflakes. If I start a buyer's club to buy in bulk, and Massey are the distributors, they're going to undercut me. I will never be able to sell it for less than they do if they want to squeeze me. That's how Julianne ran into trouble, because the distributors who gave them things at concessionary rates that they could store in warehouses. The supermarket business is a cutthroat business, ma'am. And I hear what you're saying. It would assist the members. But what would happen is that the members would have to take their money out of the credit union or wherever they have it and put it into a BARP credit union and then manage the selling and buying of items. That's what they would have to do.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, when the members would, they would compile the list and the members would collect the stuff, they wouldn't think about storage. You would do it just in time. You understand? You would do just in time. You collect a list of things and then distribute them a particular day so you won't have nothing in storage, right? Because that's how they usually do it in some offices. You collect the list and the people put down the thing, and then they bring in the agents, bring in the stuff, and you distribute them. You don't have nothing to put into no storage, right? So I think they can do that to help the agent population in Bar, right? My next question is in relation to the financial institutions. The financial institutions are reducing the interest rates, right? How come the credit union interest rates are so high, right? And they haven't taken that into consideration. Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah. And the next thing is, right, in relation to the people that are supposed to bring into Barbados, right? These are certain factors that we have to take into consideration. When they bring the families in here, they're going to be bringing either cars or they're going to be buying cars from the the agents here in Barbados. So some people might get employment and, you know, there will be some sort of job creation. Then you will find that employment for the nurses and the police, you know, people will have an opportunity to fill those posts. That would be an advantage. On the other hand, we have to look at the water supply in the three parishes that people are always complaining about. First thing, they got to solve that water problem. Then they got to look at the housing problem. They have to solve that housing problem for the locals before they bring in these other people, because they got to look for rental units and condos to put them in, because nobody is going to stay in a hotel for a year and two. Good? And then you got to think in terms of the culture of the people, the religion of the people, right? And then in relation to the cars and stuff, you got to look at the traffic flow on the road, the congestions at peak times and stuff, and what are they going to do with all these derelict vehicles? I'm not complaining about these derelict vehicles all over the place. When you bring all these people, etc., at some point in time, these vehicles will have to be depreciated, and some of them might have scrap value and some will not. Then we have to think in terms of the offshore banking and stuff, and some people might be registering companies that nothing ain't really happening to them, right? And in relation to crime, right, people might be coming down with different ways of doing crime, I think, because when we look around Barbados, people got shooting this thing, shooting here and thing, and people scared to walk out there at night and stuff. So you got to take all those things into consideration. The minister, Minister of Home Affairs got to think about all of these things, right? And not only that, school, they have to think in terms of the placement for schools, because right now, some teachers got to deal with 25 and 30 students in a classroom. So these children who are coming over to Barbados, right, are they going to be going to public schools or private schools?
It depends on what their parents could afford, ma'am. Barbados has been a source, there's been a source of revenue in Barbados for private schools over the years. The Lodge School used to take boarders, I think, when I was still in short pants running about. Presentation College in St. John, that no longer exists, also had a contingent of overseas students and people from, I suppose, the religious persuasion, Catholics, and those who wanted their sons to be educated by the Presentation Brothers. So education has been a source of revenue for Barbados. And if there are people who will be migrating to Barbados, who knows, more private schools may open up. We have several privately run schools in Barbados now, some belonging to various denominations. The People's Cathedral School was one of those operated by a church other than the Anglican Church. You have a Muslim school. So there are opportunities for other schools if the intake of young persons and people of school age, there are opportunities there. Thanks for your contribution. I want to read this WhatsApp message. It says, Mr. Johnson, I'm currently quarantining in a hotel waiting on the results of the COVID test I took yesterday. Prior to traveling, I followed the guidelines set forth by the Barbados COVID travel website. Upon arrival at Grantley Adams Airport, I was very impressed with the processing and the professionalism of the staff. That was until I reached the last station where the lady was letting me know about the daily temperature check I had to do. She then asked if I had a thermometer. The website did not state that I needed to travel with one. I was appalled when she gave me one thermometer and said that my traveling partner and I had to share it. I told her it was not sanitary. She asked what was not sanitary about it, and I said we do not have to put it in our mouth, but we can take the temperature by placing it under our arms. My friend asked the family member to drop off a thermometer to the hotel. If travelers are to follow the protocol, then it's very important that any changes to the protocol should be updated to the website. Have an amazing day, the person said. Brastax, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, I want the historian next time he come on, tell me what he feel that Mr. Albar did not build a secondary school in St. John. Now, my whole feelings about it is that Mr. Barr feels that the people in St. John should go to Presentation College, Lodge, and even was a school in their Mass College. That's my feeling.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
If you want to introduce zoning, then that's the schools in your zone. Why you should go somewhere else?
Well, that was the problem. You're going to get children to those schools.
Why?
I don't know why, Barr.
Man, you know why. Come on. You see, this is where we start deluding ourselves. Who went to Presentation College and Lodge, sir? You didn't hear what I just said?
Why, I hear you just
said. Oh, good. So who went there?
The people from, let me say, the people.
Sir, let me put it this way, right? If I lived in St. John, and I owned 20 acres in St. John, you think my son was going anywhere other than Lodge or Presentation College?
Yeah,
if I was a Catholic, if I was Catholic, or two, if I owned 20 acres in St. John?
Well, you own 20 acres, but what if I don't own 20 acres?
Well, I ain't getting into that part, that's you, which is why I told you about zoning. So listen, if it's one thing, right, I'll make my statements very clear for a reason. If you don't read what I say, then that's not my problem, okay?
Yeah,
so the point I'm making is, and I said it, there are people who chose Presentation College either because they were Catholic or they wanted their children to be trained by Presentation Brothers. And Lodge took persons from overseas and they paid to go there.
Yeah.
So if that's how you make your money, there are some schools in some places.
So that way they will keep the people from the village out?
No, well, you see, but here's the thing, no. You see, and this is the point I'm making, right?
Yeah.
It is a question of management. For example, and I'll use myself an example again, because it's my example. When I went to Trinidad, there was a school called St. Anthony's College. St. Anthony's College was on an old farm. They had 3 football fields at St. Anthony's College, a 50-meter swimming pool, 3 campuses, 3 buildings. They had a mechanics lab, they had an electronics lab, a refrigeration lab. Man, they had all kinds of things at St. Anthony's. You used to spend $600
a month. That was back in the 60s?
No, sir.
Mm.
No, sir. That was between 1975 and 1976. Okay? Right, 74, 75, 76. That was it, right? Now, you paid $600 to go to St. Anthony's. $600, sir. But you got all your books and everything else, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was in Westmorins, which is a upper-class area. All them fellas who planned to be managing directors and doctor's son and, you know, ambassador's son went there. Beer white boys. They had more cars. They had more cars there than NASCAR got parked up in the yard right now, right? But, because St. Anthony's was run by the Roman Catholic Church, good Christian teaching said you're supposed to take a few of the poor people from the area in, a small percentage of the, you know, the not so well off. So they had a space for the not so well off to partake of the well off. So it is a matter of management. If you decide that your school will be $600 a term or $1,000 a term for those who could afford to pay for it, you say, as a Christian gesture, we'll have 10 of the not-so-fortunate per class, and we will give them a little assistance. It's called sharing the wealth.
Yeah.
But you would have to have that type of management to do it.
Yeah, but it seems we had our management at those 3 great schools in St. John.
But I don't know that. I didn't attend to any of them. I didn't attend any of them. I know people who went there, but I wasn't so fortunate. I was sent somewhere else.
But I can go a little further. We had no education problem. It's what we see. Our problem is that those same schools had all the, there was bigger buildings, one, but they had the sporting facilities, which mainly was the cricket grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools where we, the poor people, been to, we had the cricket ground to really talk about. Because you used to go to school at the church school there in the country, and you finish school there. So we had no playing facilities, but we was good cricketers. We was just as bright as them and everything.
Sir,
so that's when the government started to build secondary schools. Then the government include playing fields, tennis mm-hmm. court, everything in those secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was nothing that not that we wasn't is just as good as them, but just that where we was going, we had these sporting facilities like they had.
Mm-hmm. That's why again, the example that I raised with St. Anthony's is a perfect example. Because from the time I attended there, and right up to the last time I read the newspaper, guess who have the top football team in Trinidad still? St. Anthony's College. They're always up there at the top. They beat all the others. They got 3 football fields. So they got a cricket field. They got 3 football fields and a 50-meter swimming pool. So it's obvious the what it is you're trying to train. Now, here's the other thing that's odd about these things, right? In almost, I think, most of the Catholic schools that I could think of, except a couple of them, playing fields were part and parcel of especially the male-only schools. Because they know you need to, boys need to run off the energy. And that there were people who were more sport-inclined than academically inclined. And therefore, they encouraged them to do, or perhaps they just had money to pay all the you know, the coaches and the gear and all the rest of it. But they even had fellows who used to be driving about the field with go-karts. And none of them had license. And every break time, they used to go and have go-kart races on the field. And none of them had license. All them 12 and 13-year-olds. Don't ask me where they had money for go-karts. I can't answer that.
Another great thing about those people's schools, Johnson, is from the time those schools begin up to this day, then people have never shut down one of those schools. But really, black people lost a lot of our schools. And I can go even a little further, like our cricket grounds, where you had the Wanderers and the Keltons and the white clubs, all the elite clubs. None of those clubs never shut down in Barbados, or even probably not even shut down through the Caribbean. But there's a whole lot of black clubs that has been shut down. You know, that's the great thing. Those people let understand the history and know the history and know the past, but we just don't care about our history or our past, and so we shut down everything. Jester Johnson, thanks for entertaining, sir.
Thanks for hearing me as well, sir. It's good to chat with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just calling to share an experience I had. I'm a Belgian living in the UK. I came into Barbados on the 3rd of November. I left the UK with a negative COVID test as required by the protocol. Got to Barbados. They said my test wasn't acceptable and that I needed them to be tested there. I was tested that same Saturday. I opted to go to a hotel for isolation, as they call it. So I got my results the next day, which was the Sunday. They indicated I need to do another test before I am given the all clear that I could move about.
Walk me back slowly here for a minute. You came with a positive test.
I came with a negative test.
A negative test, okay. Were you tested? Right. How soon after that were you tested again? The same day or a couple of days later?
At the airport, I was actually tested the same day I got in.
You got in, okay. And that test was negative too?
Yes.
Did you get back the result the same time?
No, I got the result the next day.
The next day, okay, right. But in the meantime, between that test and getting it back, you went to a hotel.
I opted to go to a hotel, yes.
For quarantine?
Yes, yes.
At your expense?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what happened thereafter? I want you to walk with me slowly because I'm trying to work out the process for people who keep asking. Did they call you for that second test? Did you have to call them? Did someone come to you? What happened there?
But what actually happened while at the hotel, mm-hmm. a representative, or at least 2 persons from the Ministry of Health came to the hotel.
Right.
And they were almost like booking people in or checking in on people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also booking people in for the next test.
Right.
So I spoke to the individual there. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, your next test will be, I think, the Tuesday. And that I need to go to Randall Phillips Polyclinic.
Did they provide transportation for you, or did you have to provide it yourself?
I had to provide my own. What he indicated that I need to get to speak to the hotel to get what they consider a designated and trained
vehicle.
Driver
okay.
vehicle mm-hmm. in order to take me there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that had to be arranged through the hotel. Mm-hmm. When that was done, took me there. There were some issues there, but I don't want to prolong on that one. I got my test on the Tuesday, went back to the hotel.
That was 3 days later or 5 days later?
So if you consider the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. it's 4 days later.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you consider that I took my test 3 days before coming to Barbados, that's 7 days, but
okay.
I wasn't sure how they were counting it.
Did you have to pay for the tests?
I didn't have to pay for the tests at the polyclinic, no.
Okay, good. Let's continue. We're going along right. Nicely.
No, that's fine. right, so so I had the test. My expectation, I got the results on the Wednesday, mm-hmm. But I didn't. I got them on the Thursday instead.
Okay.
And the results came. When I took the test at the polyclinic, they just confirmed my contact details in Barbados, my email address, and so on. And they said will indicate the outcome via email or call. Mm-hmm. I got the email on the Thursday morning, mm-hmm. Indicating that it's negative again. So it's my third negative test. Mm-hmm. And then it allowed me to go out. I booked out of the hotel, which was in Christchurch. I'm staying in Christchurch. So on my way from Christchurch, I went to the license authority in Oisteins mm-hmm. to get a temporary driver's license. Mm-hmm. When I got there and showed the lady, I read in my term and so on, and I gave her my UK license. She said, "For right now, we are doing that, you know." I said, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, for right now, we ain't doing none of that, you know. I said, but, madam, I don't understand what you're saying to me. So we ain't doing them. I took that to mean, in my ignorance, that the license authority weren't doing them, the temporary license, anymore mm-hmm. for some reason or the other. Mm-hmm. And she indicated you could go to a private garage and get one. So me and my stupidity and naivety actually went to courtesy garage from Oisteins to see if I could get a temporary license, because I know they rent cars. Mm-hmm. The guy said, no, we do issue them, but only the person who rent
from
us.
Who rent the cars from us.
Yes. Okay. So I can understand what happened. So the next day, I went to Pine, waited my turn as usual. I got to the guy, I want a temporary license. How long you come here? I said, I came my third. I was in isolation. I had a test at the airport. I waited a number of days. I had another test. And I'm willing to show you the final certificate from the Ministry of Health to say that it's okay. I don't want to see that. What are you doing in here? I said, but this is evidence that I have passed all the necessary things. I don't want to see that. I ain't even touching that. Well, you had no right in here. You should be quarantined for 7 to 14 days. I said, okay. If you come Saturday, I came in. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is today. That's 7 days. Oh, it should be 14 then. and that's how I was treated. That is how exactly I was treated. He went for his supervisor, and he said, look, you should be in quarantine. You should not be there. I said, so what should I do? What can I do? How can I remedy this? Come back next Friday. That is the same manner, the same way I was treated.
So
I can understand.
It is unfortunate that... the same things that the Ministry of Health has been trying to avoid, that persons being stigmatized, persons being treated in a manner that is considered less than courteous, and that persons in your position are faced with the type of challenge, having gone through the necessary restrictions, and that coming out of it, rather than being accepted and saying, well, you know, great to have you with us and hope you continue to enjoy your stay, you're faced with the type of reaction. And I'm sure the anxieties and the concerns of persons about the spread, as evidenced by some of the contributions that I've seen coming in on WhatsApp, etc., there are people who are uneasy about the interaction with persons in your position. And it unfortunately may persist for even longer. If I may try again to just walk you back a little bit, while you were at the hotel, were you allowed to go to the pool, go to the bar, go to the beach?
No, no. I wasn't even allowed to go out to my room. If I order anything, it was
they would bring it to your room, put it down outside.
Yeah, disposable stuff, and that was it.
Right, so it was very closely managed. Because that's the other thing. That's the other thing that people worry about. Because there was one report I remember of a young lady who said she was waiting a result. She got tired waiting and she took a ZR. It ended up in the paper and court. And, you know, people latch on to things like that.
Yeah.
So you were confined to your room, basically.
Yes, I asked, I was saying, can I go to the sea? Because I was just almost looking at the sea from where it was. Mm-hmm. Can I go to the beach? No, you can't.
Can't, okay.
So I can do, I just stayed in my room all the time. If I wanted something and I spoke to a relative, they said, well, look, they can't even come to you. They bring it to our reception, and we will get security to bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They even warned me. Steve, our reception desk is open from 8 till 8, mm-hmm. and after that we have security here.
Right.
If you come out, all we can do, you can end up
downstairs. Send back in. So how long are you here for, if you don't mind me asking?
But
are you back for good?
No. I can't persist in this trip. But
so you're going back.
I'm actually here until the 23rd. I'm actually here until the 23rd.
No,
I go back.
Let me ask you this. Okay. So what is the reception you think going to likely be when you go back? Do you have to go through the same procedure of being quarantined again? Show the test from Barbados again. Do you know?
No. As far as I'm aware, the UK government asks that I do a form 48 hours before traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I upload this, fill out this online form. Mm-hmm. Because at this present time, Barbados is considered low risk.
Low risk, okay.
Right. There's no requirement of quarantine.
Quarantine, okay. The reason why I'm backtracking and asking this again is because of various queries that have come in, various comments that people have made. For example, there was a comment from someone, I think they were traveling from the U.S., and they said, you know, you're supposed to have a test done 3 days prior to traveling or something like that.
Yeah.
But they did their test in the U.S., but they were told they weren't going to get the result until 5 days or more later, which means that they couldn't fill that three-day gap. So
yeah.
There are some challenges being faced by persons overseas, depending on how efficient the testing is in the areas they're coming from. So you may be able to get a test and get your results back within 3 days from the UK, but depending on where they are in the US, they won't be able to get it. And then going back, they may have some other issues as well. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that's fine. And the other thing is that I did in UK through BA and their association with doctors. I did a saliva test and not a swab test. And so when I got to Grantley Island, they said, we don't accept saliva tests. The protocol said a COVID test, but she's saying, well, they don't accept a saliva test as evidence of the fact that you have it, yes or no. So that is why, for instance, I had to go and do the yellow test. My question, I said to them, if you're taking the swab from my throat and saliva came from my throat, then I don't quite understand. But again, I said to them, I'm not arguing. If that is what you say that I need to do, we'll do.
Sir, I can only say I am really sorry that has been your experience, and that I hope that you had some enjoyment in the time you're here, for having taken the time to go through all the necessary restrictions to spend some time in Barbados. I hope you at least get a couple dips in the sea, because we had some rain. I'm sure you want to go out and take a dip in the rain. But at least if you can't take the cold rain in Britain, stop in our rain for a little while. I have a rain bath that some of us used to enjoy when we were younger. And not fall victim to COVID. So I really must tell you, These are difficult times. And I know someone from Barbados who's gone overseas, and they sent me a message saying, my advice is, if you don't have to travel, don't. Because they've been trying to come back home for the longest while, and they can't. I would like to urge those who are listening, even if you have anxieties about contracting the illness, if you have anxieties about persons who have come to Barbados and how long they've been in quarantine, get accustomed to the difference between quarantine and isolation.
Yeah.
Keep abreast of what the latest protocols are. And please, try and be a little bit more humane in the circumstances. I know we are anxious. I know we're concerned. But and there may be people who, you know, break the protocols. There may be hotels that are not as closely guarded as yours was. But, you know, let's try to make the best of what's a difficult situation.
Yes, that's one final thing before. And just a question,
sure.
Really.
Absolutely.
Can I still get my temporary license? Because I was honestly afraid to go back.
I was actually scrolling through while you were talking. May have heard a little clack of the keyboard, because I was actually trying to find out what was the latest on the licenses, because I saw, because of complaints about licensing, that the Barbados Revenue Authority said that there were online applications for persons who wanted licenses. And I was trying to find out, to share with you if I could, what the actual request form looks like, what information they need, and how you would get the license from going online. Yeah. Because I know the car rental agencies are able to issue them when you rent a car. But I don't think they just issue them like that.
Yeah,
and once upon a time, our police stations used to give temporary license, and then, you know, we've made changes over the years. But yeah, I was trying to find that out, but I didn't get an answer while I was checking for you. But
okay, thanks. But I'll be listening.
No problem. If I get an answer, I will share it.
Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much indeed, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good to have you with us. We are coming up to time for the regional roundup, and tracking the latest on network news from Flow. We continue with the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I was going to share this information. Went to the hospital this morning. From the time I got there, the guards were pleasant. They really knocked me for six. I wanted Barbados to know the hospital is under tremendous strain, and the staff are holding up well. Keep it up. You know, the gentleman who picked on me for going at the security guard the other day that I told missed the point I was making. When you train people to deal with the circumstances that come their way, it's good management, and they're able to do it. If you employ somebody as a security guard, and then you want them to answer the telephone and take temperatures and do other jobs that they're not trained to do, some may do it, but others may find it difficult and may run into problems. And the point I was making wasn't picking on security guards. I was trying to show that if you're going to put somebody in a stressful situation, be sure that they could handle the stress, that they're trained to handle whatever it is you're asking them to handle. It's the point that people make when they talk about sending soldiers to do police duties. They say it all the time. Soldiers trained to kill. They ain't trained to do anything else. You send them to, you know, crowd control, they can beat up people. So if you could see that with army and police, why you can't see it with asking a security guard to suddenly become a nurse? Well, it don't make sense, but perhaps it makes sense to somebody. I won't bother with the other WhatsApp message. This is Down to Brass Tacks.